The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Brian Hoyer's the kind of guy I'd love to have as a backup quarterback.
The whole thing is, what do you think of Tom Savage? I know he can't stay healthy, so yeah. I would not feel good with him as the backup. But if you use a third or fourth round pick on a project quarterback, Cardale Jones or somebody like that, yeah, long term, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And that's if they move Brian Hoyer. If they keep Brian Hoyer, you have no business drafting a quarterback at all because you're not going to carry four on your roster. It'd be pointless.
409 asks, how is Yao Ming a Hall of Famer?
Right. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. And Yao Ming is a Hall of Famer by that standard.
Off-court stuff has a lot to do with it. The fact that he was a groundbreaking player, what he did in China, what he's done since, those all kind of play into it. And it's a Basketball Hall of Fame. Who cares? Everybody gets in. Drazen Petrovic got in when he died because he was one of the first European guys. So as a groundbreaking guy, he got in. That's what Yao Ming is.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click a like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, missed a lot of good stuff. We had a lot of TV talk. We had a lot of sports talk. Had some airplane talk. A little bit of everything. All available at podcastarena.com. And also available at podcastarena.com. You can pick up a copy of the great sports betting audiobook by AJ and myself.
Genius.
Just $12.99. And low price. And also Acing Racing 2016 available there. And if you're a Kansas City Royals fan, we got a great Royals book available on there. So a lot more coming in the next month and a half, so stay tuned. But all you can go to Gal Media Publishing, you can go to Podcast Arena, go to the Blitz page. Very easy to find. So anyway, as we move forward today, I guess who's back in the news? Your good buddy Michael Sam. You hear what he said in Attitude Magazine?
I did not.
People have told me I'm not gay enough. People have told me I'm not black enough. I don't know what that means. You want to be accepted by other people, but you don't even accept someone just because of the color of their skin? I don't understand that at all. People, they tell me they have family members who are gay, and it doesn't freak them out, and no black person ever freaked out at me. Oh, you're gay. None. So he's not gay enough or black enough, apparently.
Okay. Well, he's gay enough and black enough for me.
He's not good enough for me.
That's the biggest issue. But, you know, as far as his gayness and blackness, that doesn't hold me back on him.
If I thought he could play, I wouldn't care.
I think he's just the right amount of gay and just the right amount of black.
Now, how is he not gay enough? He kissed his boyfriend when he got drafted on TV. That's I think that should give you at least an 8, right?
I mean, if you have sex with dudes and you're a dude, that's pretty much like level 10 gay, right? And if you don't, I mean, there's not like a little bit gay and a lot gay. There's either...
Well, there's guys who dabble, so they're probably a little bit gay.
I'm going to go with that's gay.
It probably is, but I mean, if you pretty much hang
like,
out
like, can you be a little bit not gay, or are you just not gay?
All right, let hypothetical situation. Well, like John Travolta, we know he's married for... That one doesn't count, but let's say a guy's married to a chick, bangs her 3-4 times a week, about once a month, goes out and hits a guy.
Gay.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, no, but it is what it is.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I don't know what the ruling is. It's not something I've ever actually thought about.
Right.
So, I'm just checking. 713.
Let's say a guy votes for Donald Trump, listens to country music, but has two black parents. That guy's black. Even if he does all those white people things.
Right.
He's still black. And same for white guys, too. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just asking. I don't know how the standard works.
No. You're either gay or you're not.
Okay.
You're black or you're not. There's right. No a little bit gay, no a little bit black. Michael Sam is the perfect amount of gay and black.
Well, we've heard
is
that.
He too, is he not, I mean, because it sounds like he's too gay for the NFL. That's why he's not in the NFL, right?
Right.
But now he's not gay enough? I don't understand where, is there like a sweet spot where it'd be like a certain amount of gayness that would be acceptable in the NFL? I don't know. I don't understand that statement. I'm not. Michael Sam is just one of these guys who is now famous for not being a football player.
Yeah,
and
or a Dancing with the Star.
I just don't understand why. I mean, the guy was never really a player in the NFL. Like, what's the attraction here?
Why is
he still in the news for saying anything? I mean, there's a lot of guys who have been seventh-round picks and burn out of the NFL before they ever had a career, and no one cares what they have to say.
Well, I just saw the story and thought you might be able to explain it to me.
No, I can't explain it.
Okay. Well, you just did, though.
Well.
You did explain it.
Good. I fixed it, then.
So, he's gay enough for you and he's black enough for you. That's all that really matters.
For me.
Yeah. Okay. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And see, that's sort of sportsy, right? It's about a former athlete.
Yeah.
Who's still trying to, you know, he's still trying to play, so I guess technically he's an athlete. John, are you excited about WrestleMania?
No, not really.
Who's the main event?
I think it's Triple H versus Roman Reigns, I think. That's what I've been seeing like over on Twitter, the posters and stuff like that. And I know The Undertaker is fighting Shane McMahon.
The Undertaker's fighting Shane McMahon?
Yeah, I think over power or something, I don't know. Control of the company. He came back.
Yes, it is Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
Which is The Rock's cousin.
And everyone on this little prediction is predicting that Roman Reigns wins. So,
matches I care about.
Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose in a no-holds-barred street fight.
I don't even know who Dean Ambrose is. That's a made-up wrestler.
He was a part of the Shield. I think we talked about this a couple years ago. He was part of the Shield. Roman Reigns was in the Shield.
What's he look like? White guy?
Yeah, white guy. Kind of has a medium long hair, dirty blonde.
Brock Lesnar's wasting his time against a guy like that.
Oh, well.
Why is Brock Lesnar not the champion?
It's a good question.
This guy, Dean Ambrose, looks like he doesn't even look like he's got a gimmick. He just looks like a kind of like a drunk guy you'd see at the bar. Brock Lesnar's going to beat the crap out of that guy.
All right. Somebody sent me a text.
No holds barred match. What's that mean?
Anything goes.
You could hit him with a table if you want.
Yeah.
And you could still win.
Dean Ambrose is known for being a little crazy.
Okay. Is it the kind where they can go in the locker room and fight?
Yeah.
I like those matches.
Someone sent me a text. Pilot in Kingwood arrested for running brothel. I had that the other day, and we never got to it. I got to find that story again. That was hilarious. All right, we've got a little interview here that the AP Player of the Year.
That's right.
You happy with that?
Be respectful.
Denzel Valentine.
Joining us now on the program is the newly announced Best College Basketball Player of the Year, the AP Player of the Year. Finished up an amazing collegiate career at Michigan State. Denzel Valentine with us on the program. Denzel, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you, man? Can't complain.
I'm doing well. Let's get this out of the way. You guys are doing this tonight, the 28th Annual Slam Dunk and Three-Point Championship tonight at the Barry Center, 8 p.m. You can get tickets, collegeslam.com. You're taking part in the three-point contest. Yogi Ferrell from Indiana, Daniel House from Texas A&M, a couple of your opponents. You feel good about your chances tonight?
Oh, yeah. I'm very confident. The best shooter. Probably is Brent Flores, my teammate. But, you know, let me see if I can go ahead and compete and take this thing from him.
Now, I'm sure you'd much rather not be participating in this event and instead getting ready for what's going to happen in NRG on Saturday. You had a fantastic career individually as a team at Michigan State, but what was it like for you going out of the tournament the way you guys did in such surprising fashion?
I mean, you know, we can't do nothing about it now. So, I mean, it hurts, obviously. I mean, I think we had just as good a chance of winning the national championship as anybody in the country. I think everybody thought that too. So it was really surprising. You know, I still can't believe it, how we lost and how we went out. But credit to Middle Tennessee, they played a heck of a game. You know, anybody that shoots, you know, close to 60% from the field and shoots 55% from the three for the whole game, it will probably be a national championship contender. So they played a very good game, but it was very disappointing. But I have no regrets. Our team has no regrets. They just caught us on a bad night.
What's the locker room atmosphere like after a game like that? Because this Michigan State team has experienced so much success. To have a disappointment like that, what's it like for you guys to go back and look at each other and know what could have been?
I mean, it's, I don't know how to explain it, because you know, you're just kind of in shock that it happened. But, you know, like I said, you know, Middle Tennessee, they played a heck of a game, and it was their night, I guess. So it was very, you know, we were very, you know, sad and disappointed with ourselves and how we played. And but you got to give credit to Middle Tennessee for where they played, and we just got to move on.
What are your thoughts on the four teams still standing? What do you think of the guys that are still there, and who do you think has the best chance to cut them down?
They're all deserving of where they're at. You know, I think Syracuse reminded me of us from last year, the way the run they had, you know, the 10th seed, and you know, they make it to the Final Four, and then Villanova's playing really good. You know, Buddy in Oklahoma, they're playing really good, but I think team to beat North Carolina just because of the depth that they have and the senior leadership that they have.
As good as the Big Ten has been this season, are you surprised that no Big Ten team is representing in the Final Four?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought for sure we would have at least one. But, you know, chips didn't fall, you know, in a place like they should have. And I still feel like, you know, we were the, if not the best, you know, one of the best conferences in the whole country. You know, we proved that, you know, we got a lot of quality wins, but you know, it just happened that no Big Ten teams were in the Final Four.
I've got to ask you about Buddy Hield, because you two were in a battle all season long for Player of the Year, and I think it's refreshing to see you two guys who are seniors battling for that award, which seems like a more rare occurrence nowadays. What are your thoughts on Buddy and what he's done this season?
He's had an incredible career, incredible season this year. Great player, man. He's he does it night in, night out. He's consistent with it. He's very deserving. I have a little relationship with him, so he's a good guy, man. He deserves everything that he's getting, and you know, I wish him the best of luck in the future.
Let's talk about the next step for you. When the NBA draft comes around, you're a guy that's looked at as a mid-first-round pick. The weird thing is, once you're a senior, you're 22 years old, the NBA looks at you almost like you're too old to be a top prospect. Does that bum you out a little, that you work so hard to get where you are, and, well, now you might be a little too old to be brought in as a prospect? How do you feel about that?
I'm not really worried about all that. I'm just worried about what I can do and controlling what I can control. You know, if they don't want to pick me up or this and that, you know, I guess it wasn't meant to be. All I got to do is control what I can control, and I'm going to compete. I'm not going to back down from anybody. I'm going to show what I can do. I'm going to improve, you know, what I can improve on. You know, that's what I've done in the course of my 4 years. So I'm just going to keep on thriving to improve and control what I can control, and then let the chips fall into place.
You'd be another in a long line of Michigan State Spartans who have been a little overlooked on draft day and came on to do big things in the league. You have any predictions for the slam dunk contest tonight?
I'm going either with Ike Nwamu or Deuce Bello, one of the two. You know, those guys are really high flyers, and they got some tricks up their sleeve, too. So I'm going with one of those two guys.
The judges out there tonight, if anybody's looking to go, DeAndre Hopkins, Brian Cushing, Lamar Miller, Jalen Strong, a bunch of Texans, and Darren Rovell, one of those things, not quite like the other, but he'll be a judge as well. Again, the 28th Annual College Slam Dunk and Three-Point Championship tonight at the Barry Center, 8 p.m. You can get tickets at collegeslam.com, and among the participants is our guest, Denzel Valentine, the AP Player of the Year from Michigan State. Best of luck to you tonight, and really in the future going forward. Denzel, appreciate you taking some time out for us.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Denzel Valentine.
Taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand.
Yes.
ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. But if you liked what you heard yesterday from the HD show, filling in for us, you can listen to them in just a few minutes, actually, at 7 o'clock tonight. But you can also listen to them in a few seconds because
they're in here now.
Yeah.
Does the microphone work?
Yeah, it is working.
It does? Okay. Just sure. I can't hear.
Listen, I don't care too much about what happened yesterday. We had a day off. These guys filled in admirably.
Is your dad okay?
My dad's good.
Pops is good.
Good deal.
That's a start.
I feel like we had some good mojo flowing yesterday.
He had shoulder replacement surgery.
All right.
What my dad did say is, I just got my entire shoulder taken out, but he said, I bet I could hit more than one shot in a 3-point
contest. Without a bum shoulder.
What happened? What is going on?
Meltdown.
Here? Were you last place?
Tied. Me and Paul Gallant from 6'10".
Tied. You're a former 6'10 guy.
Yeah.
Is he one of the guys that you're cool with or not?
No,
cool
me and Pauly G are good. Okay. I love Pauly G. Because
it would have been worse if, like, it's some guy that you hated from back there.
The one dude I didn't know, the guy that won it, I didn't know. The other guy came on, like, right after I got let go. So, yeah, I didn't know him.
But so your boy Nick Wright wasn't there to punk you out?
No.
Nick Wright would have gone there and made two shots, how would you have felt about yourself?
That wouldn't have happened. Okay. I promise you that.
Now, how many shots did you attempt? What was the
25. One for 25.
One for 25. Yeah. That's like an early
4%.
That's an early season James Harden stat line.
That's 4%. That's a KU to losing a buck.
Yeah, all you need to do is throw in the 7 turnovers and he's James Harden.
Yeah. Might as well have been.
Now, here's what I will say.
Yeah.
I did a 3-point contest once. When I was in Austin, and I actually won the contest shooting 3 of 15.
Yeah.
But that was on NBA threes.
Right. I think I might have done a little bit better had I shot from further out.
Because I was thinking, like, I remember being a little overwhelmed the first time I tried to shoot an NBA three.
Right.
Like, you actually have to put some ass into it to get it there.
Absolutely.
But you guys were on a high school court, right?
Which, by the way, you guys ever been out there?
No.
Cy Fair Berry Center?
No.
It's palatial. I mean, it's insane what this place looks like. But anyway, no. It was we stood behind the, you know, because they got the new college 3-point line. So that's what we shot behind.
Okay.
So I shot. I mean, but, you know, it's like, what, 4 or 5 inches? I mean, it's not a hard shot.
Apparently
Listen, 3-point shooting is rhythm shooting.
Did you do 5 from each station or
five
what?
5 from each station.
Did you have
to bounce it? Was there a clock? Oh, yeah, no clock. That's right. There's no clock.
No clock, and you only made one?
No clock.
I think it's better if you have the clock.
I think I would have done better if I'd had a clock.
Maybe you needed somebody with a hand up in front of you. Could have made a couple of those.
Maybe so.
Where did you hit your shot from? From the side?
It was the next to last basket.
So it was from the corner. I mean,
I missed my first 22.
So when you get to that last rack.
Oh, I was tripping.
You're,
trust me, I was. In my mind, I was thinking, if I don't make one of these shots,
now you would have never heard the end of it.
I haven't heard the end of it. But
nor should you.
Is this the worst moment of your athletic career?
Hands down.
Do you regret even participating in the contest?
Not. I'll do it again. I'd do it again.
I don't recommend it.
I'd do it again. No, because here's the thing.
This is your Baba Booey moment.
No, I won 2-21 games leading up to it.
Against who?
The guys that organize it. These guys, that's all these guys do is they set up 3-point contests.
But 21, listen, you're a big dude. You were probably out rebounding those dudes.
That was my size. Listen, one-on-one, I could have beat all those guys. I'll take one-on-one, I got it.
But this wasn't a one-on-one
contest. This was not a one-on-one moment. No, it wasn't. Listen, I've gotten flack at work. All right? You know, and
is there a video of it?
I don't know. I hope not.
I wasn't there, so I didn't video it.
I feel like we had to have gotten video of this.
To redeem the HD show, we're going out to practice.
Okay.
We're starting over the week.
We got to do something.
Practice?
I will say this.
Talk about practice.
Sometimes these football players think they could play all sports, and they get out there, and they act a fool on that basketball court, and they don't know what they're doing.
That's some football players. I agree to that. You know, I'm... The thing about my basketball game that's so surprising, I'm more of a point guard.
Okay,
I can handle the rock.
That is surprising. You know,
I got a little wicked crossover.
That's all this guy wants to do is shoot 3-pointers.
I play with those guys too.
You should have shot the other day.
Well, I would have, but I haven't been able to play for a month because of my knee. I'm back.
I mean, it's a 3-point contest. Yeah, you don't have to.
I could have done better than one.
Hey,
especially with no clock.
Now, Mike Pearson was out there. He was the other representative.
Mike made three.
Yes. Where did that put him in the rankings? I mean, was it respectable or was it his also shameful?
He was next to last with this little short redheaded kid who at one point was shooting with a girl's ball and didn't realize it. We had to tell him you're shooting with a girl's ball.
Now, Mike Pearson reported to us that after your performance, you threw your phone. Is that true?
I sat down and I kind of just tossed it to the floor.
So that's throwing it.
So you threw your phone out.
Yeah.
But something good came out of it.
There's throwing and there's tossing. Was I upset? Absolutely. Was I disgusted and embarrassed? No question.
Well, did you have people there with you to watch this?
No. There was only 8 of us and then the people that put it together and the Hispanic cleaning crew.
So there's no crowd.
I feel like they were laughing at me though. Because the one lady was looking at me smiling, eating popcorn.
You know how they were laughing at you, right? Not ha ha ha.
They jaw-jawed me. I got jaw-jawed. And rightfully so. I should have been jaw. I got jaw-jawed off the court.
They jaw-jawed your ass.
But it was
out
a good thing that came out of the phone slamming because we might get a sponsor out of
it. We should out of LifeProof.
Because, I mean,
LifeProof. Saved him?
Oh, yes. Never broke, no shatter, no nothing.
Well, he just lightly tossed it.
I did lightly toss it.
You know what? We all know who we're talking to. There's no lightly tossing.
Man. No, it was, listen. And the best part was, so here I am. It was two, because I took time. I mean, I took off work.
God.
All right. So I took off work.
Did you go in thinking that you had a good chance of winning it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what was the winning score?
9. 9 or 10.
So that's doable.
Oh, it's totally doable. Completely doable.
I don't know how I would do. I'm not much of a shooter, but I do feel I could have made 2 out of 25. I must say.
Listen.
Your performance is laughable.
I melted down. I hate to admit it, and I melted down. Because after the first 2 racks, I was like, are you kidding me? And then I just got angrier and angrier.
It got into your head.
And it got in my head all right. It was in my head.
Did you change the way you were shooting? Like,
you went to grandma style?
I literally, at one point,
if I would have gotten to if you would have gotten to the last ball and not made a shot, would you have just kicked the last ball and walked off the court?
It's funny you ask say that because
I feel like that's what I would have done.
At one point on the 4th rack, after I'd missed one so badly.
Was it getting worse as you went?
Airballs?
Oh, yeah. I airballed at least 2. Because I was, at one point, I blurted out an F word. You know, the only person to blurt out an F word while we were doing this contest. At one point, I wanted to pick up the rack and just throw it across the gym and say, you know what?
But
F all of you, I'm done.
Did the other dude who only made one go before you or after you?
Pauly G went before me.
Okay, so when you were watching him, were you kind of like, oh, dude,
I got
you
this.
Suck?
I trash-talked Mike Pearson. I trash-talked. Okay? Mike was wearing some Under Armour Steph Curry's.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, if you don't make more than one, you have to take those shoes back.
Oh, well, God, that's so perfect.
I guess I'll have to take my shoes back.
So perfect.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. So, no, it was embarrassing.
Because that's like after you talk smack to people,
you got
to
represent.
And then you're not making them, and the pressure's mounting.
That's what's going through my head, too.
I clowned the dude who made one. What if I don't make any?
Yes, what's going to happen now?
It was getting close. It really did. It was embarrassing. And like I said, so Tuesday afternoon, when I'd kind of felt like I'd gotten out of my system a little bit, I'd kind of, gotten rid of it. And then all of a sudden, a guy from work texts me and goes, bro, they're busting your balls on the radio right now.
Oh.
I said, you know what?
But you deserve it.
Nothing I could say. I mean, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't be mad about it. I mean, and like I said, I did.
That's the product of those court-appointed classes that he has to go to.
I tweeted out. I said, listen, kids, practice makes perfect. Hashtag 1 for 25.
Well, there you go.
All right. So, I mean, listen, I've owned up to it. I'm embarrassed by it. And I want to atone for it somehow, some way. I don't know.
What do you guys got going on the show tonight?
Petey Pablo.
That's Petey what we got going Pablo.
On. What was his big song?
Raise Up.
Raise Up, okay. North Carolina.
Take come your shirt down. Like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter. Yeah, that song.
That's
And the only reason we got Petey Pablo coming on is because after we did our final 4 picks, he picked North Carolina to win the whole thing. And I said, what good comes out of North Carolina? Right. Eddie Pablo.
What did you pick out of the whole thing?
What do you think?
Did you really pick Kansas to win the whole thing? Oh, you should have known better than that.
Of course I did. I've been doing it. I picked them every year for the last 20 years.
Oh, that was foolish of you.
All right. I'm one for 20.
They did.
It's, which is better than my three-point shooting percentage.
Exactly. That's right. Beat me to it.
Which is better than my... No, my boss pointed that out yesterday. So, yeah. So we got Petey Pablo coming on. We were efforting... What we were trying to do, and we kind of did this late spur of the moment, was we figured, you know what? The hell with it. Let's try to get somebody from each of the four Final Four teams. So we tried to get Toby Keith. He couldn't do it. You tried to get Donovan McNabb. He big-timed you.
Yeah, he big-timed
me.
Donovan, I'm coming for you.
We tried to get Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates, right? Because they're from Philadelphia.
You should have gotten Alan Ray, that guy whose eyeball popped out. You remember that?
Who the hell's Alan Ray?
He's a guy on Villanova. His eyeball popped out of his head. I mean, that's like the greatest moment in Villanova basketball. I mean, he got poked in the eye, and his eye was just hanging out. I mean, it was so gnarly.
No, now that you mention it, no, but I think he's too late. But no, so anyway, we tried to get Daryl Hall, because I'm a big fan of Live from Daryl's House. Apparently, he's not a big sports fan, but they said, hey, John Oates loves talking sports. So we reached out to him. He said, listen, I don't talk basketball, but contact me before we come to the Woodlands, and I'll come on your show and talk football.
Well, there you go. So John, and you're like, hey, that helps out my bit. None, yeah. But cool, thanks.
That's all right.
We'll pencil you in.
Extended tease sometime in late April, early May. Yes. John Oates coming on to talk some football.
That's it. We haven't been talking football.
All right. Well, have a good show tonight, boys.
By the way, we had a hell of a time doing your guys' show. Yeah, we certainly aren't you guys, but we had a lot of fun. You guys got great
listeners. Yeah, and the guys that called in and got to talk, they were great guys. So
good, man.
A lot good of time.
Did your Twitters hold up okay?
Yeah,
that's good. We don't listen. See, our people are sometimes they're savages. These they're animals. Listeners.
The problem with us though, and we're horrible about this. I'm horrible about. And you guys already know you guys Twitters. I don't. We don't ever give our Twitters out. We don't give out the Twitter. And we don't give out the phone number.
Okay? So that's something we don't do it enough.
We've got to do a better job of that.
So okay.
We probably should.
Well, you should. You live, you learn.
You live, you learn.
Real Don Mateo, you got a job today.
Like if I mean, smart people would say, I go 1 for 25. I'm not going to play that three-point game again.
Not this guy.
You don't live and learn.
No,
I don't.
No.
You don't live and learn.
No, you know, I had a guy the other day tell me, you know, Fred, you just need to get out of your own way sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to know when enough is enough.
Yeah. Two out of 25, he'll give it up then.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
we'll
so.
Free next time. Gentlemen, right. Have a great rest of the show.
Thanks, all right, guys.
Boys, thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Dirt Free. Listen, no one likes to mess around with replacing their carpets. It can be an expensive, it can be a big inconvenience, and it's something that you really don't want to do. You can extend the life of your carpets with Dirt Free. And the fact is, a lot of these carpet companies can actually leave your floors dirtier than they found them. Not Dirt Free. These guys, the other guys will leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens. All that stuff can make your family sick. It can make your kids sick, your pets sick. You don't want that. Call Dirt Free, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free carpet. They use powerful engines to create a high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. They've got the truck-powered equipment, the best technology in the game. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. For over 30 years, these guys have been cleaning every surface you can imagine. Carpet, upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, your air ducts, you name it, they'll clean it. Call Dirt Free right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it right here at ESPN 97.5. They'll clean 3 rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers at 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free carpet. Helicopter, North Carolina. Come on and raise up. This one for you. Uh-uh. This one for who? Us. Yes, sir. North Carolina. Come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your head. Spin it like a helicopter. ESPN
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to see a really cool hockey hit, just go look at the Dustin Byfuglien, Mark Stone hit from
tweet
last
it out,
night.
Fred.
I could tweet that out. That was you pretty should. Badass. Yeah, I will. I'll tweet it out. All right. I found this story. Somebody sent it to me about a United Airlines pilot who is accused of running a network of brothels in Houston. His name is Bruce Wayne Wallace.
So great.
51 years old. And he says, basically, he's accused of 6 to 10 women worked at each sex spot. He and his partner are accused of paying dozens of women around $400 a week to work a few apartments as an offices. It doesn't seem like a lot of money.
Not very much, you know. Well, I mean, maybe he's giving them $400 on top of their earnings. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he's probably taking the earnings and then paying them $400 a week. But apparently he bragged about having been a pimp for 10 years. And
I know a lot of people, like, there's some people who have pimp written across the back of their window.
I've seen that.
I mean, it seems like you'd want to keep it on the low, but what do I know about pimping?
He
just know it's not easy.
Once boasted of convincing an 18-year-old girl to become a prostitute. It's legal.
I don't think it's legal.
Well, I mean, she's legal age.
Right. She's legal to have sex consensually, but not for money.
Well, if she's consenting to have sex for... Never mind. A female accomplice, 37-year-old Tracy Rebecca Tanner, has also been charged.
Was she a hooker or...
She was his partner in this, so okay. She was also a pimp, as it were.
Ugly to hook?
I don't know. They don't show a picture of her on here. But United Airlines only commented that Wallace had been, quote, removed from his flying duties. So, there you go.
All right.
$400 a week, that's...
It seems like not a lot.
His lawyer, of course, says the case against his client is an exaggeration on a massive scale.
All right. Well, maybe you shouldn't talk about pimping if you don't want to get busted for pimping.
Well, if you're a pilot, that's going to be news. The girl is the madam. Excuse me. So, no, they paid him $400 a week, I'm told now. By somebody.
He was paid. That was his pimp fee?
Yeah, $400 a week for him to set all this stuff up.
Okay.
All right. Good job if you can get it.
I guess so. The UFC 200 card coming together a little bit.
Yes. Your favorite fighter.
We're going to see Conor McGregor once again take on Nate Diaz.
At 170,
right? At 170, which is a surprise to me. I thought they were going to redo it at 155. Conor McGregor insisted that the fight take place at 170 again. I have a feeling he's going to regret that, but that's what he wants to do. Also on the card, Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar for the interim featherweight title. And according to Dana White, whatever happens with McGregor Diaz, his next fight will be against the winner of Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo at 145. Cain Velasquez versus Travis Brown. Johnny Hendricks versus Kelvin Gastelum. Gegard Mousasi versus Derek Brunson announced. Diego Sanchez, Joe Lozon. Takanori Gomi, Jim Miller, and Sage Northcutt versus Enrique Marin, who is not very good. Sage Northcutt, they're continuing to ease him in there. Kat Zingano versus Juliana Pena also on that card. And they've been hinting a lot at, and there's rumors, that George St. Pierre will make his return and face Robbie Lawler. So UFC 200 is going to be stacked one way or the other. But Diaz versus McGregor as the headliner is... I mean, it's been rumored for a while. The biggest surprise to me is that it's at 170. I thought they would try to make that fight at 155. I don't know what Conor McGregor thinks will go differently for him this time, because now Nate Diaz is going to get a full fight camp instead of 2 weeks. But to me, the UFC has a lot more to lose than they do to gain with making that fight.
Well, and maybe McGregor will be better prepared to fight at this weight this time, because he did get tired.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But
well, carrying around more muscle doesn't really help you.
No, it doesn't.
The other thing in the UFC is that Chris Cyborg will make her debut. And apparently Holly Holm was offered that fight and turned it down, saying she prefers to focus on a rematch with Miesha Tate. A lot of people have been asking on social media why she would turn it down. I think it's a pretty obvious answer why she would turn that down. That's not a good fight for anybody.
No.
I still say that whatever woman fights Cyborg in a cage is going to lose, whether it's Holly Holm or Miesha Tate or Ronda Rousey or you name it, it's going to happen.
Tyler says that dude lives by me in Kingwood.
Nice.
Yeah, that guy sounds like a blitzer. He does. I bet he listens to the show. All right, guys. Got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. It's so important to get a good night's sleep. When you're not sleeping through the night because you're having back or shoulder pain, it makes working a full day tough. And the great thing about Texas Mattress Makers, they're going to put you on the perfect mattress for you. They know everything about them because they make them right there. You can even see how they do it right there in the shop. They put them together, and they're all the time they're coming up with these new and creative ways to create better sleep. They're doing things that nobody's doing with their coils and everything else. Just the best possible mattresses you can get. The best part is you're going to save at least 50% guaranteed over what you would pay in a retail store because they just mark the prices up. They don't do that at Texas Mattress Makers. You're getting factory prices. You're getting it sold directly to you, and you get to find the perfect bed for you. They don't ask how much you want to spend. They ask, how do you sleep? And I'm telling you, these guys are going to put you on a perfect mattress. You're going to love it. They love the Blitzers. These are handcrafted quality materials. Visit them right now, 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. They love you guys, and you're going to love what you get from them. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We're having a finals party at the House of Blues on Monday, April 4th. We're broadcasting live all day long. Mike and Mike will kick the day off at 5 a.m., followed by Reality Check, John and Raheel, Unfiltered, Game Day, and The Blitz. There will be special breakfast buffets, happy hour specials, and we'll have special guests stopping by all day. Oh, did we mention that it's opening day in baseball, too? We'll have the game on to watch your hometown heroes take on the Yankees at noon. Don't miss a second of the action at House of Blues Monday, April 4th, brought to you in part by Papa John's. So he says that guy was banking $400, 15 girls per week, 6,000 a week, or 312 a year. Multiply that by the number of other buildings he had, that could easily have been a million. Yeah, it's,
I guess so.
That'd be good money, man. I'd be down with that. Do they ever get a week off, though?
I don't think so, but either way, no matter how much you're making, when you go to jail, it's not as, it doesn't seem as lucrative.
Yeah, that's true. Although, if you've been doing that for 10 years, it might buy his way out of jail. Some brief breaking news, and we'll get to Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right.
Rockets guard Jason Terry is interviewing for the head coaching job at UAB.
Really?
Yeah, very strange. But
what's out of this joint?
Apparently, they were already here for the Final Four, so they decided to interview him.
Well, so, I mean, do we know how it went?
No, I just that there's a report that he's interviewed for the job and that he's a candidate.
Well, good for him.
So, all right, let's do Off and On Hollywood.
All right, let's start with Kanye West. He says, and this is what he's saying, or him and the streaming service Tidal. I don't know how much I believe in this. I don't know very many people who have heard the whole album. Jung, have you heard Kanye's album?
No, and I refuse because it's only on Tidal.
You don't want to go for that, right?
No.
I would have gladly paid 10, 12 bucks to have that.
Me too. I checked iTunes the first day it was out, and nope, only on Tidal.
He says that The Life of Pablo was streamed 250 million times globally in its first 10 days of release on Tidal. I'm going to go with BS. I'm just going to call it BS.
That seems a little...
But I bet they don't have 250 million people who even are subscribed to that site.
Yeah, they can't.
They had the industry ratio for streaming is 1,500 streams equals that of one album sold economically. So that works out to selling about 166,000 albums. According to the guy David Bakula, who's the senior vice president for Nielsen Music, an album can only get to these types of numbers if it's a good album that people want to hear. He said, Kanye being outspoken and being Kanye helps it get there, but it doesn't make it without being a quality album. And one negative to that is piracy. The Life of Pablo was pirated over 500,000 times when it was released. Boy. But he says that his album will never be on Apple. So, and Jay-Z, who owns the music company, they say that they announced on Tuesday that it eclipsed 3 million subscribers across 46 countries. So you're telling me that 3 million subscribers listened to that album 250 million times?
I think there's a lot of signing up for 30 days and then canceling.
Okay.
I know a lot of people, when you first sign up for Tidal, you get that, I think, 30-day period where it's all free.
I don't even want to do that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Guess who's going to be asked about Bill Cosby? Asked to testify about Bill Cosby. Hugh Hefner.
Oh, really?
Gloria Allred revealed Wednesday she plans to depose Hugh Hefner next month in a sexual battery civil suit filed against Cosby by her client, Judy Huth. Huth claims Cosby sexually assaulted her inside the Playboy Mansion in 1974 when she was just 15. Mr. Hefner is going to be 90 years old next week. We need to proceed with his deposition, Allred said.
What the hell is a 15-year-old doing at the Playboy Mansion?
That's a good question. It was the 70s, so who knows?
But they weren't shaving.
Cosby had asked to freeze the entire lawsuit pending resolution of his criminal case in Pennsylvania. He argued through his lawyer that he needed relief because his testimony in the Huth case might be used against him in Pennsylvania, and any decision to invoke his Fifth Amendment privilege could harm him in that matter. Judge Carlin said he wanted to give Cosby some breathing room, but still expects the Huth case to go to trial next year. Martin Sheen is producing a docuseries. I don't know why. I mean, I guess he's paying for this himself. But the intention of the series is to prove O.J. Simpson's innocence.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about throwing your money down a well. The series intends to explore three questions, Sheen said. What if there were enough evidence that O.J. Simpson did not murder Ron and Nicole? What if the real killer was still at large? And finally, what if a grand jury convened to reconsider the case based on new evidence? The six-episode series was picked up by Investigation Discovery and is based on the work of private investigator William Deere, former LAPD forensic psychologist Dr. Chris Mohandi, and Rhode Island Police Sergeant Derek Levasseur. The reexamination of the case will present a new theory and never-before-seen evidence to reveal a possible new suspect behind the case we think we know. Viewers will not only be presented with real facts and hard evidence, but also an undiscovered eyewitness. This series will now show you what may have happened based upon all the facts. For the first time, you'll be able to judge for yourself. I'm certain people will be shocked to learn who O.J. may have actually been covering up for.
His son. That theory's been out there forever, and that's that cop who, I think, he's the one who did a book
Isn't
about it.
His son really young?
Yeah.
But, I mean, too young to cut someone's head
off.
Well,
no, he wasn't that young. He wasn't so young that he couldn't chop somebody up.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember how old he was at the time.
And this is my fault. I forgot to give you a giveaway. Can we do this real quick?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to give away four FanFest tickets for this weekend. Win two tickets to the Interactive Sports Extravaganza NCAA Final Four FanFest at George R. Brown Friday through Monday. Includes basketball courts, four exhibitions and fan games, three-on-three tournaments, and special appearances with former NCAA players and coaches, as well as other sports personalities. Tears. Topped off with a fun-filled atmosphere. Ticketing is family friendly. For more information, log on to ncaa.com/Final Four. You guys pick a caller.
22. Five.
Okay.
5.
27.
5.
5.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.